Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Cohen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Dan, Datsun, Peak Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis on the eve of Prince Charles Day, WrestleTalk Live in London, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? Are you excited?
I can't wait. I keep forgetting about it, and I'm like, oh my God, that's today.
Yeah, I had that all yesterday when I was getting all the clips together for the podcast record we're doing afterwards. And I was like, I've still got time to get all these sorted. And then I said, oh no, it's tomorrow. And then I got home and my wife said to me, like, oh, are you looking forward to tomorrow? I was like, why, what's happening tomorrow?
Mm.
And then I was like, I keep forgetting.
This podcast will be out?
Yes.
Before 8 p.m.
Exactly, yeah. This podcast will be out around about an hour and a half after we finish recording this. I'm very quick at turning it around.
Yes. So go and buy tickets if you haven't already. In the words of Michael Cole, what are you waiting for?
Oh, it's so much value you're going to get for your ticket price. If you can make it down to London town. Got something in your nose there, mate. I just thought I'd point that out before we go on camera. Do you want to hear this very interesting email we got in from Jaron Walker? Gets in touch with us quite a bit. He says, Dear Lake Owl, the one we're all forced to like, Poot and Andy Datsun.
That is a confusing string of words.
I know, right? But he says here, how dare you? How dare you all hate on the greatest sitcom of all time? I'm 19 years old, and I honestly think that the Big Bang Theory is a hilarious piece of television. Mm. First of all, they're wrapping up their 12th and final season, something Friends and Seinfeld couldn't even do. And also, the jokes are legitimately funny, unlike the psychotic, unlikable narcissism of sitcoms like Seinfeld and Friends. Did they overuse the laugh track? Yes. Do I sit there with a straight face for most of the episodes I choose to watch? Yes. Do I mostly watch because I want Penny to have my children? You bet your ass I do. But it is an entertaining show, damn it, and my dad thinks so too.
I love the Penny thing is, because that's what I used to get with Scrubs. I'd watch it just so I could see Elliot. And maybe one day we would get together.
Yeah, Sarah Chalk. When she showed up with in Friends from College, I was like, this show just went up a notch.
I didn't know who it was. I was like, why do I know your face? So many of the things you brought up there, that you sit in stony-faced silence for the majority of the episode, that it none of those shows you mentioned are celebrated beyond like their seventh season.
Yeah.
That most TV shows run out of ideas, especially American ones, which have ridiculously long seasons of 20 to 24 episodes.
They're not like British sitcoms that they have six episodes per series and they usually end after the second one.
There were only ever 12 episodes of 40 Towers.
Yep.
That's insane.
Absolutely. There was only 12 episodes of The Office, not including the Christmas specials.
Christmas specials, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not... All those arguments, I counter... And I'm not even going to say, well, it wasn't my generation. No, it's just a bad show, Jaron Walker.
Also, there's even a joke in The Good Place that Friends ran out of ideas in season 8. And they give the argument of, like, why would you put Joey and Rachel together? Doesn't make any sense. I would argue that it did for the time. Also,
you are the only person who thinks
I am the only person who will go to bat for that
storyline. Even the cast were against that decision.
I thought it worked, man. I thought it was really sweet.
I thought it was rubbish.
It ran out of steam very, very quickly, but I did think it was sweet in the early goings.
It's bad booking.
And also, there's a line in The Good Place where he's just like, how can they afford that apartment in New York? And I was like, Michael, that's explained in the first season.
Rent control.
It's rent control. Yeah. It's right there. The line of dialogue is right there for you. But you chose to ignore that good place just so you could make a joke at another sitcom's expense. Well, joke's on you. Anyway, thank you, Luke Chador.
Do you want to go into the outro?
I wasn't actually going to read out this email, but I was just going to say thank you, Luke Chador, for what you sent across in your email. However, it is illegal, and we're not going to watch it. But anyway, we're going to dive into the show now. We're going to be talking about the wild card rule that was introduced on Raw last night.
Wild card!
And can it save WWE? Here is the show.
I guess we need some preamble to set up this episode of Raw.
Yes.
Roman Reigns tweeted over the weekend, I'm going to go to Raw because I've got unfinished business.
Yep.
And then WWE's official Twitter account was like,
nope, you are a SmackDown superstar you're not allowed on Raw, so we don't want you here.
Mm.
And then Roman tweeted back saying,
I don't know. Is my yard something about a yard?
He just said, no, I'm going to go to Raw.
Yeah.
And I think WWE replied again saying, no, you're not. Thankfully, they had his music ready for when he came up today or yesterday.
So the Twitter account is also with the McMahons?
Well, they say that WWE officials have said that Roman is not welcome.
Okay.
Or,
well, whatever.
Along those words.
Whatever. Vince McMahon opens this episode of Raw. No chance. Boo, we hate you, Vince McMahon. You've been screwing up so many NXT call-ups recently. Everyone cheers.
Oh, this happens every single time.
I cheered. How can you not?
There we go. Vince McMahon is bad for this company. We need him gone. As soon as he makes an entrance, we're like, woohoo, he's here.
And
do love that theme music.
It's great. This is classic WWE and Vince McMahon. When ratings are down, bring out a McMahon, the
we
biggest McMahon, Vince. And ratings are very, very, very much down. Record low ratings since WrestleMania. And that was after WrestleMania. It continues to drop.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the precipice of an under 2 million non-holiday episode of Raw.
When was your prediction when that was going to happen?
Well, I said it was going to happen end of July.
Yeah, but it might end up being sooner. It could be this week.
Yeah, before the SummerSlam build.
Yeah.
But no, it could be by the end of May. But Roman Reigns almost immediately interrupted Vince and said, the gall of WWE to write these words
for
Roman
to say. You were very unhappy about this when you came into the office.
Well, he said, look, 6 months ago or whatever in December, You, Shane, Stephanie, Triple H stood out here and you said it's going to be a new era and the fans of the authority, the WWE universe, you're going to listen to them.
Yeah.
And we're here again. And I'm just like, you have done this three times in under six months.
Hit the reset button.
To soft reboot a product three times. That's panic moves.
Well, yeah, but, you know, maybe WWE thinks it's like Janet, that when you reset it...
Ah, from the good place.
It comes back better.
Yeah. No, it hasn't
It hasn't yet, no. It's funny as well, because I think WWE... And it's funny as well, because a lot of people say to us, oh, you put too much focus on ratings. And really, ratings aren't that important in this modern era, because you've got Hulu and you've got YouTube and you've got things like that, people illegally streaming in it. So ratings really don't matter anymore. Well, I mean, tell that to the USA Network, because clearly this was a panic show. And the commentators were hammering home all night long. What a great show. This is a show for the ages. What a tremendous product we are putting out at the moment. Vince is a genius. God, we're doing great right now. Look at the amazing stuff you're going to see for the next 3 hours. And like, when Vince came out, the first thing Cole said was, you can't have a bigger way to open this show than Vince McMahon. It was a proper panic-filled episode.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of that North Korean level of propaganda, where you're just, if we say this enough and have these fixed smiles on our faces, everything is fine. Mm. The house isn't burning down like that drawn dog meme, where he's just sitting there at a kitchen table.
I think it was about Bray Wyatt's painting he did last week.
Yeah, what? Yeah, maybe that is a meta commentary.
People thought it was all about the Viper and the family. It was his compound. No, he was actually just drawing Titan Towers.
Yeah, I'm stuck, help me, AEW. So, yeah, the Roman calls McMahon out for the whole you're the authority figures now thing. And then Daniel Bryan's music hits.
Yeah.
Which, you know, regardless of what's going on, is such a welcome sound, because he disappeared for a while after WrestleMania.
Disappeared. The rumor was that he was injured and WWE were keeping it very close to their chest. Meltzer said it was a concussion, but it wasn't.
Well, no, he speculated
it was a concussion, yeah.
Yeah, he said an educated guess would, you know, because of his history of concussions. So Daniel Bryan comes out and he says, I want to have an intelligent conversation with you, Vince. And then Kofi Kingston's music hits. I'm like, well, this is fun. Yeah. This is fun. This is undoubtedly fun, because I love Kofi. I love Brian. It's Vince is a big name, mm-hmm. even in 2019. But what is going on?
That was pretty much my note as well, is what is going on here?
Yeah.
And yeah, and it was like these three big surprises. Well, I say two big surprises, I suppose, because we knew that Roman was going to be there, but we weren't expecting Brian and Kofi to be there. And... yeah, and then all of a sudden Drew McIntyre comes, and I was like, I smell a tag team match player. But it turned out not to be a tag team match. And instead, Vince was like, hey, I'm going to book WrestleMania rematches. And I was like, oh, there were some really classic matches at WrestleMania. Which one are you going to pick? Roman versus Drew. And I was like, oh, great. The one that no one remembered.
The crowd were audibly like, ah. But then he said, and also Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. Everyone went, yay! That's much better.
But he introduced this new system that he came up with on the spot, he claims, in his promo. And it felt like that throughout the show, because it did seem to change every now and again. But he said that he's introducing the wild card. The wild card rule.
I guess it's wild cards.
I thought he just called it the wild card.
He did, yeah, but...
The wild cards, okay. And he explained, I believe his exact words were, 3 stars from Raw can go to SmackDown.
Could go.
And 3 stars from SmackDown could go to SmackDown. Those were his exact
words. Oh, did he say it wrong?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't catch that.
But yeah, ostensibly, the point is that from now on, we still have a brand split, but stars can go over, but it's limited in number of who can go over. I don't know who makes the decisions of who can go over, but apparently they can now. So AJ Styles said he's going to show up on SmackDown.
And they didn't even stick to 3.
There were 5.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, let's not count on this, Shane.
Well, no, I was counting Elias.
Yeah. So 5, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just agreeing with you.
But sorry.
By the end of the night, we'd essentially had 5 SmackDown stars on Raw. even though they said three at the start, and one of them is Lars Sullivan, which we'll talk about later, and Vince, you know, looks at him and goes, well, maybe we better have four then. Which is, you know, that's a funny line based on the characters and what was going on. But it was fine! It was just, what's going on?
I think they forgot that Elias was on SmackDown now and just didn't count him.
I guess he ran on, like maybe he was with Shane. So
usually that's meant to be a big deal, isn't it? Like when Becky and like led the invasion before Survivor Series. Also, what's Survivor Series going to mean this year? Because it's no longer the one night of the year when they go head to head.
I think we can write off anything post-October because that's, you know, that's when it moves to Fox, and I imagine the whole landscape is going to be revamped once again.
And it's interesting you mentioned Fox as well, because the story that we've been hearing since the Fox deal is that Fox wanted exclusive stars. Mm. They wanted stars that were only on SmackDown. They didn't want any like sharing them with the USA Network. Now the story is it's Fox and USA Network that are asking WWE to get rid of the brand splits because they actually want a shared roster and continued storylines. And this is Vince McMahon's way of, quote, throwing them a bone, of saying, okay, look, I'm not going to get rid of the brand split, but I will let four stars jump from show to show.
And Elias.
And Elias. And Shane. Yeah. And Becky. And the Iconics. To jump between...
Corey Graves.
And Corey Graves between...
What a brand split,
what a
folks.
Brand split.
3 years.
Brand split.
Not even 3 years.
But this happened with the last brand split. They did it and then got bored of it. Because
lasted
they were
like, a lot longer, though.
It did last longer, but then the ratings start to tumble. And they're like, huh, why are the ratings tumbling? Oh, it's because we've split the blands. We've split the brand split. We've split the brands, so we'll put them all back together. And then the ratings start to do okay again. Mm-hmm. And now they've just split them apart. And now the ratings are starting to crumble again. So they're just putting them back together. In 3 years' time, we'll just get another brand split.
Yes. Yeah. So it's... And the other thing was Vince kept on saying how he was a genius. He put those WrestleMania matches and he went, that's it, I'm a genius.
Such meta commentary.
Yeah. And then when he came up with the wild card rule on the spot, I know I say on the spot, but maybe it was actually legit on the spot. He's gone from rewriting stuff 5 minutes before they go on air to while he's in the ring. Triple H is probably scrambling around in the back end. Don't let him say NXT. If he calls anyone up randomly, just cut the mic.
But he wouldn't know any names.
Yeah, and he said, Purple Dream.
Exactly.
But he says, I'm a genius after that as well. And he said it later on in the night. And Michael Cole, like babyface commentators, were saying, what a genius move. Like you said about the sort of fluff propaganda piece to appease the networks. It is. It's total like, no, Vince has totally got this under control. He's a genius.
It felt like real meta commentary.
But like, what an insane, like, how detached from reality do you have to be to say, just keep saying I'm a genius on commentary and I think we'll get out of this one.
There was a Twitter thread that was posted up yesterday of like crazy Vince McMahon stories. And it is wonderful to read through. It is marvelous. My favorite one, this is slightly sidebarring slightly here, but I did want to bring this one up with you. There's a story that JR and Gerald Briscoe were in a car and JR farted and it smelt so bad that Gerald Briscoe threw up.
Wow.
And Vince thought this was the funniest thing, so he kept trying to make himself fart so Gerald Briscoe would then throw up, and he ended up crapping his pants. And then had to go out and do a segment. And so he instructed everyone to film him from the waist up because he'd crapped his pants trying to make Gerald Briscoe throw up.
Who told that story?
It's a former writer. He posted up this thread of like the stories that he's had over the years.
Maybe that's where the walk came from.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry, a sidebar.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's a sort of like little... You know,
it's what we're dealing with.
It's what we're dealing with. Genius Vince McMahon. So yeah, so this really was like I've seen a lot of people say worst Raw of the year, worst show of the year, and it really wasn't. If anything, actually, this show was better than last week because the main event was really good. But it wasn't a great show again, and it just reeked of desperation. It just reeked of the ratings are falling. We need to do something yet again, and just hitting another reset button.
Well, I actually quite liked. A lot of the show, there was some awful parts of it, you know, the Revival and Usos stuff. But largely, it was an okay to actually quite exciting episode. Not just because you've got these people I really like from SmackDown, and say, I know it's quite tired, the bland split, ha ha, LOL. But seeing Kofi on Raw, with the WWE title against Daniel Bryan, I felt like it was a big deal. Yeah. I know it didn't mean anything, but it was exciting.
It was a great
match. Also, the way they structured the show was crashing into stuff, like setting up threads. Here's a shot of Miz waiting outside Shane's locker room. The girls are getting the women's division are getting invitations. They were setting up bits and threads to go through the show, and I thought that was done very well. It made it feel more chaotic and like anything can happen. But the problem is it just you've broken your own rules so many times that nothing means anything. It's just all style and there's no substance, and the style is a bit dated anyway.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. And I mean, I didn't like the Roman Drew match at all.
Why not? Let's get on to that, because I was going to argue that another positive of this, although it doesn't really matter, is that, my God, WWE do have a fantastic roster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is, yeah, undoubtedly, they have an incredible roster.
When you, like, seeing Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins and AJ Styles and Kofi all in the same opening segment with Drew coming out, I'm like, man, that's like, if you had all these guys on one show, that's a legit roster there. But it's not because they've obviously done the brand split and you've got a separation of talent. But they've also booked 7/8 of each roster terribly.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these top tier guys, put them all on one show. Feels like a really good show.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy the Roman McIntyre rematch. What didn't you like about it?
It's every Roman Reigns match we've seen. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I thought it was a lot more back and forth than usual.
Mm.
Yeah. I loved the Alabama slam onto the apron.
That was a great spot. Yeah.
I
particularly like Drew just booting him out of the air whenever he tries to do the Superman punch. I thought that was nice.
And the failed drive-by spots. I thought that this wasn't... I don't think there was actually a rest hold in the whole thing.
No, it wasn't as rest hold heavy.
And there were no rest holds in the opening Baron Corbin match.
It didn't feel as... I wouldn't argue that it was back and forth. I would say it was Drew mostly working over. But because Drew's a very good worker, he can creatively work over someone as opposed to just Baron Corbin cranking that headlock. And
that's a WrestleMania.
That'll take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I said that it was the finish was, you know, fine. Roman had the match won, and then Elias and Shane jumped the ring because Shane is feuding with two different people at the moment. He's feuding with The Miz on SmackDown, The Miz on Raw.
Yeah.
And Roman on SmackDown. I can't even remember now. I actually joked with, we talked about this when we were at Progress the other day. I couldn't remember which brand Elias was on. I thought he was on Raw until someone corrected me and said no, he's on SmackDown now. Miz came out, and I was like, maybe now they'll set up another tech match and we'll do Miz and Roman versus Elias and Drew.
And thank God they didn't.
No.
Miz chased Shane around the building. There was a hilarious bit where Shane hid from the Miz. Miz ran past him with a chair. Shane goes to go down some stairs. Charlie Caruso, with a camera crew of about 20 people, start chasing after him. Go, tell us why you're evil.
Start trying to interview. He's like, I'm hiding.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hide. Corey buried her so much. He was like, where did she get her journalistic degree? How dare she try and interview Shane in that? But like, yeah, I mean, I thought Shane was... I thought the segment was quite cool. Would have liked to have seen Shane sell those chair shots that he took, though.
Yeah. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. He's the best in the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But the rest of this little brawl was shot from a high angle, like almost from the top of a staircase, down at The Miz chasing Shane round a limo. It felt different. Fresh.
Yeah. And I would say as well, I think that really gets over the steel cage. Because the whole point is, Shane was running away. When you're inside a steel cage, you don't have that option. So actually, I think that's really nice.
So I like that. What worried me a lot is that there's just this group of people in the mid-card who are usually with Baron Corbin. So that's Drew, that's Bobby. It was Elias. And so for a period, it was Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler. And now seeing Shane out there with Drew and Elias, I just thought, man. And he was with Bobby last week.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's the Shane of evil.
Are you okay? It's the Shane mid-card vortex.
It's an omni-Shane of vortex, a vortex of omni-Shane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I didn't like that. But the rest of the segment I enjoyed. The other sort of flash panicky bit was Lars Sullivan came out for a No Way Jose match?
Why was No Way Jose out? That was never explained. He was just doing his conga line. Mm. And then all of a sudden, Lars Sullivan showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so what was Jose doing? More to the point, why did Lars... Was he waiting for Jose to do his conga line?
It doesn't make any sense, no. But I don't like No Way Jose's gimmick. I find the conga line and the music insanely annoying. This was very cathartic for me because Lars beat people up.
Oh, and he battered and threw these idiots around, and it was quite wonderful.
I loved how one was wearing a crappy cape and he was thrown in the air. Someone was dropped in the apron. I thought Lars looked the best he's done, actually, in all the sort of beatdown spots.
Just like this one's on R-Truth, but like he had more people to beat more up here, which was nice, yeah.
And then he saw Vince backstage. Vince is on the phone backstage in an office, and he's talking, and no one knows who to, and he's just saying, like, yeah, the wild card rule. Three people here, three people there, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm a genius. And Lars walks in and goes, well, maybe four. And he walks off. Which would be, like, that's a good joke. But what are the rules? It's so infuriating.
Is there, like, a sign-up sheet for you to sign up on to say, like, I'm going to go to SmackDown tonight or I'm going to go to Raw next week? I there's no explanation of how this works or why it's there in the first place other than Vince is a genius. This really reminds me. I've seen a lot of people compare it to WCW in its dying days. I think it's more... I'm going to compare this to Impact. Or TNA, sorry. Back in, when TNA had Hogan, Bischoff and Russo running the show, and they were like, we could compete with WWE. We've got a good enough roster. Let's go head-to-head on Monday nights. And it backfired instantly. As soon as they did it, they lost all their audience. Mm. Because it turns out their audience were just watching WWE Raw and then were watching them on Thursday because there was no other wrestling on. So they went head-to-head, completely died to death. But every single week was a reset show of being like, this is a new thing. Mm. Here's our new thing. Here's our new thing. We're going to try this now. And none of it ever stuck. And that's what slightly concerns me about this. It's just, as you quite eloquently said at the start of the show, this is the third reset in 6 months. That's not great. And I just fear there's going to be more resets to come before we get to October.
And it's not just a reset as in, here's this or... Yeah, start of new feuds. Like, you'd expect that after WrestleMania. The Superstar Shake-Up is technically a reset episode.
And apparently the Superstar Shake-Up is just still going. This is basically just another version of the Shake-Up.
Yeah, this is characters on screen who are also real-life owners of the company coming out into the ring and saying, this is a bad show we've been giving you. We're going to try and make it better. They've done that three times. It's just mind-blowing. And the way Vince keeps on saying, I'm a genius, that feels to me like, you know, if this was properly done, that would play into something where he's not a genius, he's the heel, he's going to get a comeuppance. Kofi and Vince were in the ring together in the start of the show. Nothing was ever really said about all the feud and stuff that came before WrestleMania. Yeah. So I just think he doesn't... This isn't going to play into anything. If you're sitting around thinking, I can't wait for this storyline to pay off and Vince is going to be ousted by Triple H or whatever fantasy booking you've done yourself, it's not going to happen. That's not what they've thought about. This was come up with on the day.
I think the genius line is meta commentary. I think it's him saying that because people question his choices. And he's saying that because he's Vince. And that's probably he probably gets a kick out of that.
Mm.
But
trying to crap his pants at the same time.
I would like to think that this is going to lead somewhere. But then again, I thought that, well, people were saying that months ago, that this was going to lead to something. It was going to lead to Triple H and Stephanie trying to take over. We thought this with the Becky Lynch thing when he was just putting Charlotte Flair into the match, or he was taking Kofi Kingston out of matches and putting Kevin Owens in. We thought that was going to lead to this, or lead to something, and it hasn't. It's just been things happening, and things are just still happening. If it does end up being with Steph and Triple H are going to lead like a new revolution, and they're going to take over the company and, you know, bring it back to its past glory, I don't want WWE to sit there and go like, see, it was all part of the plan. Yeah, it was all the story. We buried Daniel Bryan so he could win at WrestleMania 30. Balderdash, mate, you didn't. Mm. Like, there's enough people on record to say that is a lie and that's false history. We had to screw Bret Hart out of the title. He was going to show up on Nitro. There's enough evidence to show that was never going to happen. Mm. And yeah, so if this does, and I don't want people saying, well, you should have just waited. Should have waited. It was always going to pay off for something.
Well, the last part of it that made this Raw enjoyable to watch, like it was a relatively easy watch, I would say, was the main event of Kingston versus Bryan, two SmackDown stars, two wild cards, and they had a really, really fun match.
Really, really like this, yeah. Really, really enjoyed it.
There were just so many nice counters from Bryan working over the shoulder. There was a great Bryan drop kick, like a shotgun drop kick to cut off Kofi's midair Trouble in Paradise. I really liked it. And what I was surprised I liked this so much. Kofi went over clean and very strong.
Yeah, and there was a spot where Kofi did like a backdrop over the ropes. He nearly cracked his head on that apron and on the LED board. Mm. It was amazing that he didn't hurt himself on that. But my favorite spot of this was when Bryan goes to throw him into the post. And Kofi just sort of like leapt up parkour style like onto the apron, onto the ring post, and did the nasty plunge onto Bryan. It was really, really fluid. It was really great. And yeah, I'm really happy to see Kofi go over very, very strong. Almost put a pin in that feud. I thought it was really great. Although, got to give Renee some credit here. When this match started, and she said, as flatly as possible, shout out to the wildcard rule.
Genius.
And
genius,
I think I actually put too much emotion into her delivery.
Yeah.
Bless Renee.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But before that, we've got some Patreon shout-outs to do. So thank you, Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
Whoa, yes, the Jarman!
I didn't see these on your thing.
They are there.
Oh.
The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Whoa
yes, nice.
$100 Man CD.
Whoa, yes, nice. El Siguiente Top Model de Gran Bretaña. Phil Stopford.
That is good.
Thanks, bro.
Well read.
Thank you.
Ken, I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. De Leon.
Oh, well.
He's not in the UK.
Absolutely not. The Kessel Run, DX Solo. Thank you for your super chats as well, my friends.
Arnie K, the K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Oh, he is cool.
He's the best.
He's very cool. The Mayor of Painesville, Dan. Yes.
The event known as Chris Anderson to decide the best in the world.
Shane won it.
Oh my God.
Ben. Hey now, you're a rock star. Haley.
Woo. Yeah, Ben. He's no jackass, Dano.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Good reference. Angry Arbil Zafiri.
Woo!
Yes. Yes. I think I got that right.
The Beast, Brock Taylor.
Oh, Beast incarnate. Jerry was a race car driver. Sorry, I'll try that again. Jerry was a race car driver. Spicer. Whoa. Yeah, Primus.
And Supernova, Steve Harris.
Yeah,
that was my Noam Dar impression. Yeah. It's probably terrible.
It was spot on.
But WrestleTalk.com's Randy Andy Datson, what you got for us?
Loads, in fact.
Well.
We have...
Let's fire through.
Lots and lots and lots, so we will get through them. Gavin Wilson starts with, what are the rules, presumably?
We don't know.
What are the rules?
You don't know?
No. We're trying to figure it out.
Vernon Jeffries says, Ollie, you are a sexy boy, but you're not my boy toy.
Oh, wow. Don't go half in and leave me hanging.
I was going to say, I don't think you could be one and not the other.
Mm.
Danny DeVito says...
Well, the actual Danny DeVito?
Yeah, he's a big fan. Fart sounds from Natty can save WWE.
Hey,
Vince might. Vince will love it.
Wild card suggestion, that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, is Elias going to get fired?
Oh, I don't think so. Seems to be such a company guy. And that
has he done something wrong?
No, I haven't heard anything.
No.
No, I would say not for... He seems like a WWE lifer to me.
Yeah.
Patrick Cooper, can we now see an epic Balor versus Bryan feud now?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's never really happened, is it?
Yeah, I could certainly go for that, yeah. I was about to say they're both on SmackDown now, but I don't think that matters too much these days.
But yeah, and there's the IC Championship to play for there.
Yep.
If Kofi's busy with Kevin Owens...
I'm all for that, yeah. And actually, I think Balor's got a really good lineup of... A very strong upper mid-card for him to... Mm. Like, in Bryan, Aleister Black...
Andrade,
Ali. There's loads of
Randy
people...
Randy Orton.
Yeah, well, less of him. But this Randy instead.
By the way, shout out to people who last week were saying, I'll never watch Raw again, who are now saying it again this week. So, Skywalker D says, is the wild card really the end of the brand split?
Well, I mean, the story is that Fox and USA Network want it to end. But I think WWE quite like it.
I don't think it will. I think this is, we're going to get another reset in about 2 months' time into SummerSlam or after SummerSlam.
Zach Lindner says Raw was frenetically horrid and my moment of silence after this one was frenetically horrid and my pet bird Jeffrey just passed, but keep up the fantastic work. Your Wrestle Rambles make WWE easier to process.
To Jeffrey.
Ben Greenwood on a lighter note says, please be a work. Vince seemed a little more manic and delusional than usual. I'm clutching at straws. This was bad.
It could be a work, man. Could all just be a work.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great idea to work this ratings disaster.
Didn't say it was a good work. Yeah. I just said it could be a work.
Just wait till John Moxley comes back.
Yeah.
That's what they're banking on.
Jimmy Havoc hopes it's a work.
Thomas Lagden says, hi, everyone. Is this purely for a rating bump, or is this the beginning of the end of the brand split?
Ratings bump.
Oh, they're not mutually exclusive.
But yeah, it was to bump ratings. Yeah.
Someone has given a donation with a message retracted, but I'm presuming it was something nice about me. Jean-Luc Urquhart says, at this point, should the brand split just end, and if so, what should WWE do with their huge roster?
Make it so.
We're getting a bit of a theme here.
I don't think the brand split's going to end. They should book. They've got enough for two rosters. Book them well.
Yeah.
205 Live. They haven't got enough for five rosters, maybe. They've got more than enough for two.
Yeah. I got a tweet over the weekend from someone saying that we're blaming Vince, but you know the NXT guys clearly just aren't drawing. Maybe they're the ones who are at fault. And I mean, I didn't reply, but the argument is you're like, well, if you book them as stars, then maybe they would draw. But like, does Ricochet feel like a star to you? No, he just feels like another lad on the roster.
He lost for no reason 2 weeks ago to Robert Roode.
Oh, he got his win back, though.
Yeah. Well.
And
He's got his little sound effects. If you book people like stars, then they draw.
Tomo,
who
has removed the Randy Datson's number one fan from his name, apparently because a friend thought it was stupid. Well, I think you're stupid, Tomo. Because of the wild card rule, what Raw superstars do you think will show up on SmackDown? Love you guys. Heart emoji, heart emoji.
AJ.
Seth.
I was going to say AJ's Gallows and Anderson. I still think that AJ is teasing this, like him and some friends are going to go over.
Feels more heelish, doesn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah, Gallows and Anderson go over there. Maybe do AJ versus Finn with Gallows and Anderson in his corner.
Yeah, that's a good shout. But who knows? I doubt it will be just three.
Shinod BM says, brand split, lol. Show. So apparently we won't have brand-specific stars.
No.
Oh, no. They are still brand-specific. Roman is still a SmackDown star. He can just go to Raw now if he's on the sign-up sheet.
Yeah. Troy Ferguson, the new wildcard rule is strange. We have a draft to freshen things up, but now it seems pointless. Are we moving back to the Universal platform again?
I think you'll find it's a superstar shake-up, not a draft.
Good point. Yeah.
Such a dumb name. The draft is so much nicer.
Yeah.
The Twinny says, Raw's taped NXT week. Record low ratings continue.
Raw's taped next week. Next week, NXT.
NXT, next week. Yeah.
Taped shows don't generally have a massive drop off, but there is a drop off. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Could be.
Why is it taped?
It's in London next week.
Oh yeah.
So we see it live.
Yeah.
If you go to it.
Yeah. Isaiah Fakire, possibly. Drew, this one's for you, Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, Bobby, Baron, Elias, and Shane. A new authority faction. Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my worst nightmare. Who would it be led by? Shane. Or Baron?
You're right, actually. Baron is, he's a former... No. GM.
Shane and Baron, and then there's a power struggle, and then their match at WrestleMania.
And at least, like, it's like the Undisputed Era, but it's with the mid-card
Shane
of evil
instead.
Shane
versus Baron.
Oh, Shane versus Baron at WrestleMania. Yeah. Oh, that'll put butts in seats.
In a lumberjack match. Isaiah Fakiri again says, been listening for over a year and planning on becoming a pledgehammer very soon. Thank you from good old California.
Thank you very much.
Caleb.
Sounds sarcastic.
Caleb Maldonado says, wild card prediction tonight, Corbin, Lashley and Drew.
That would be a good one.
That's the one you want.
The bar.
Well, actually, you can't do the bar because Sheamus is on. Yeah. Maybe you could do a bar reunion, though. Bring Cesaro over from Raw.
With Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm. The Big Show. I don't know what brand he's on, maybe. Yep.
Michael Montiel says, Ollie, say, I crapped my pants with your Vince voice.
I crapped my pants!
Good. Like it.
Generation Z, Undertaker versus Sting via Rhea Bailey proxy. Is this the Bailey Sting thing again?
Yeah.
Doesn't ruin Rhea. NXT is non-canon. Just give her a funeral experience nickname.
So is he now saying Rhea Ripley should be The Undertaker and Bailey should be Sting?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
You lost me. I mean, I was so on board with the Bailey Sting thing, but you've totally lost me now. And I love Rhea Ripley.
Sorry, Generation Z. DX Solo.
I don't think it's a serious suggestion. I'm sorry if it is. It's terrible.
DX Solo. I was less mad at WWE for this crap show and more mad at myself for being stupid enough. This sounds like a bit of a confession. Enough to think it would change. It's like being in an abusive relationship. He doesn't mean it. He will change.
You told me it would change. I'm getting a bit of a kick out of everyone's reactions because I feel like I've been saying since WrestleMania, since those random four NXT call-ups, it's going to crap, guys. And that's when my cynicism really started, where I stopped giving them the benefit of the doubt. And now everyone else is there.
Yeah, everyone else joined.
Because this show...
People said to you, you're being too hard on it. You're being too cynical.
This show, I was like... This is fine. It's just exactly what I expect for a terrible TV show that I watch weekly.
Like The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, and everyone is like, oh my God, what a terrible episode. Like, nope, I've been here all along. Welcome to my view and experience.
It's funny, actually, yeah, because in the comments, like, I was looking at the super chats, not the super chats, but the chat in the live stream before we went on air, and there's everyone saying, like, can't wait to see these guys just crap all over this episode. And I was like, I'm not that outraged by this episode. I feel completely apathetic towards Raw.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's a nonsensical show.
Tomo. Ollie and Luke, I'm running out of magazines. Any recommendations?
Have you bought the Wrestle Talk magazine?
It's a good idea. It's right there.
That's what I would buy.
Link at
wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.
WrestleCartelBigTalk.
At.
And you'll put the link in the video description.
Ooh, Stream Slayer says, wild card rule, but it just means Baron Corbin's on every show and wins both world titles. Hashtag all hail Baron Corbin.
Yes.
Yeah, it does mean he can be on every show now. You know.
In the main
event. Always look on the bright side
NXT.
Of things.
Rob Pontin, Pontin's problem says, I honestly think Vince has some form of dementia with what's been happening in the last month. Makes me think it more. Sad to think thoughts.
I certainly don't think we should be giving him a live microphone.
No.
Mm.
I mean, I'm very bad at talking, but I'm not running a $1 billion company.
Mm, that's true, you're not. No, sorry.
And if I was, Randy, you'd be paid much better.
Thank you. thank you, Luke. Shout out from Brooklyn. Luke looks like Kailu. Kailu?
Kailu.
C-A-I-L-L-O-U.
C-A-I-L-L-O-U.
L-O-O-U.
How many more have we got? Because we've got to crack on with the rest of the show.
Oh, it's a cartoon from Canada. It's a bald child.
You look nothing like that. No one looks anything like that.
There is a...
It's got a completely spherical head.
There is a YouTube thumbnail called Kalu the Grown-Up Goes on a Date, and it appears to be a picture of him groping a girl in a bikini.
Well, that's unsettling.
That is unsettling.
We have about 20, so we do 5 more?
Let's do five more.
Yeah. Sean Turner, Ollie, I was right. Shane, mid-card of evil, confirmed.
Yeah, yeah.
Generation Z says, could you shout out to my 10-year-old nephew? He feels I watch you all.
You got this.
He thinks that his nephew thinks that Generation Z watches Wrestle Talk too much, laughing emoji, and was Endgame or WrestleMania better in your opinion?
Endgame.
Endgame was better. I would prefer to watch Endgame twice, which would still be shorter than watching WrestleMania.
I saw someone on the tube watching Endgame on their phone today.
What an idiot.
That is illegal.
But yeah, shout out to the nephew whose name you didn't say.
No, he didn't. Nephew Zed. Chris Gardner, do you think ratings will ever get bad enough that they will have to try fabled Hunter's hostile hijack of WWE?
Mm? Yeah, so like a Triple H taking over storyline.
Yeah. But is that what people are clamoring for? Is that a storyline we really want, a hostile takeover?
Yeah, it would just be another soft reboot. The same people are still running the company.
Yeah, exactly.
Might get a little bump for a couple of weeks, but when it goes back to the same problems, then everyone's going to get sick again.
That is a real key to that argument, actually. Yeah, is that even if this is building to a Triple H and Stephanie takeover, Vince is still in charge. Mm. Like, Vince is still the one who's signing off on everything. So the show doesn't change. It's just the on-screen McMahon changes. And really, that's not a change. Mm. But maybe Vince will get distracted next year with the XFL.
Elizabeth Mazora with 10,000 Korean monies. So a common opinion is that WWE will be saved when Triple H takes over, but Trips has his, brackets, rather glaring flaws. Do you think WWE will really improve under him and how? P.S. Love you guys. Heart emoji, dancing woman emoji.
Well, thank you very much for your generous donation. The product will be largely the same. There will be more tag teams because Triple H loves a tag team. There will be more factions because he also loves a faction.
Mm. Yeah, I think it will be better. I don't think it will be NXT.
No, because they're catering to, in their mind, it's catering to a different audience.
Yeah, but I am more hopeful. You got to be, haven't you? Because I do want to like WWE. I've loved it forever.
I like wrestling.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately very terrible at the moment.
Yeah. We have one more, please.
Yes, you can. From Jay Buller. Is it just me, or does the Kofi hype seem to be dying off just like Becky Lynch? Also, Randy, change your diaper, man. I don't really know.
Change it before we do our live show tonight. Get your tickets for the Prince Charles Cinema.
I think Kofi's momentum is carrying pretty nicely.
Got a nice
actually.
Pop when he came out.
But I agree with Becky Lynch. I think she's cooled off considerably.
Yes. So, the show opened with the Vince stuff, and then they went to an ad break, and you think, okay, all the talking is done now. We can get on with the rest of the show. No. There was more talking to be had as AJ Styles came out, and they went to this ad break, and then everyone had disappeared but AJ and Vince. Very, very weird way to set this up, but hey, you know what? It's a tease for the ad break, make you want to come back. And AJ said that he's finally made it to Monday Night Raw. And Vince just brings over guys from SmackDown.
Yeah.
Real burial of SmackDown there. I finally made it to the big time, and you bring those jabronis over.
I just, like, watching Kofi and Bryan cut promos, Kofi's promos have been so good. Really exposed how wooden Rollins and AJ are to me. And Rollins is a good promo,
but
he's not on the same level, not even close to Bryan and Kofi.
Yeah.
So I just, Seth came out as well, and they just had a bit of a stilted dialogue exchange, just like their awkward dialogue exchange in the main event of last week.
Because the story they're telling is that Seth said that AJ is showing his true colors, and then Vince made them tag together against... I've got to be honest, I did laugh when Bobby Lashley came out. And I was like, I mean, it's going to be Baron Corbin, isn't it? And then when... You got to laugh. You've just got to laugh. It's Baron and Bobby. And they looked thrilled to be tagging together.
At least it wasn't Baron and Drew. Because that'll be next week, I presume. Because they broke up last week.
This feels like the worst version of it, though. This is the worst version of that mid-card team.
Yeah. Like, I thought maybe it won't be Baron. Maybe it'll be something because they've brought loads of SmackDown guys over anyway. There could be something big happening here.
Maybe it could be Cesaro. He had that one-week push.
And then,
2 weeks ago.
And then Mike Rome just went, I'm going to introduce with all these. And I was like, you, God damn it.
And that is really starting to get a lack of heat now. It's funny if you go back and watch it, because Mike Rome is standing there and he's leading off all these things like Golden Gloves, blah, 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 blah. And there's no heat for it until they go, your hometown sucks. And then the crowd boos.
Yeah.
The crowd then aren't booing the heel. They're just booing your hometown sucks.
Place name's favorite son.
Boo.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, and Baron doesn't get heat. I've seen some people argue about. I don't think he does. Mm. He gets heat when he cuts promos, but I don't think Mike Rome gets any heat for his introduction, and he never gets any heat in his matches. And this was pretty boring.
Oh, I didn't mind this.
I like the finish though. I thought the finish.
Yeah.
Was great.
I thought the actual match, because I'm just so used to boring Baron and Bobby matches. And there wasn't really any rest holds here. Lashley sort of had a bit of a fire under him, I felt. He speared, who was it, AJ through the ropes at one point. I thought it was pretty decent. But not amazing. Mm. But it was just to the usual Corbin levels. I enjoyed it a lot more.
Maybe I've just been overhyped by Progress.
Mm-hmm. We went to Sunday's Progress show, which had some phenomenal wrestling on. Two very, very, very good matches.
Absolutely.
And to go from that to this, it's a gear change that's difficult to put your mindset into. But yeah, the finish was AJ goes for the phenomenal forearm, Baron gets out of the way, hits Seth with it, AJ looks at him and goes, God damn it, and just walks off.
He did look at him and was like, you idiot got in the way of my move. I'm off then.
And it was kind of like, I don't even want to deal with this.
Yeah.
So he walks off. So it's kind of like, yeah, that was kind of a heel move, but... not fully here. It was a nice shade of grey.
And they were playing it up on commentary. Did he mean to do it? Did he hit the move on purpose? Did Seth just get in the way? Key to this, though, I do think this is something we need to highlight. Baron was the one that got the pin on Seth, which to me suggests that's Seth's next feud once he's finished with AJ. Is Baron going for the Universal title? He's got to win over the champ. He pinned the champion. That should set him up for a future title match.
Yeah. They usually stick to those things.
What's after Money in the Bank? What's the pay-per-view then?
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
What's a proper pay-per-view?
Great Balls of Fire.
At that one then.
I'll tell you in 2 seconds.
Thank you.
It's probably Extreme Rules that time of year, if that's still on. But yes, so Seth is left high and dry to lose. Seth looked legit angry.
Yeah.
So I think this was a nice next stage in the first chapter of their feud.
And we'll come on to the when they happen. But I really like the style of promos on this show. I thought the promos this week were so much better and they felt so much more organic.
Mm.
Even if it does feel slightly stilted because it is a camera in a locker room and it's, you know, talking to the camera. But the promos themselves felt so much better than having someone go like, ba-ba-ba-ba,
yeah.
Thoughts.
And he's got the...
Stomping ground.
Oh, of course!
And then it's Extreme Rules, and then SummerSlam, and then Hell in a Cell.
It's so funny, because people are like, God, that's the worst name ever. And I'm like, that's pretty standard for a WWE pay-per-view. But it does sound rubbish when you say it out loud. Like, when you see it written down, it's like, oh, that's a WWE pay-per-view. But, yeah, when you say it out loud...
After this, we had Miz sitting down backstage outside Shane's dressing room. So he's just going to be waiting for him there. Then Sami Zayn came out. And I was like, come on. You've obviously rebooted the show. He's got to do something now. It's been 4 weeks of these admittedly very, very good promos, but ultimately go nowhere. And he gets interrupted by Braun Strowman. I was like... Oh, that's like the I don't care about this feud.
Yeah, it's not the one I would have liked.
Hmm.
I was hoping for Cedric. I was really hoping for like plucky babyface Cedric Alexander, even if it is like a very bad character trait to come out and be like, I love my fans. I think the fans are brilliant. And I think you're a rotter because you don't like the fans. Don't think that makes for a very good babyface.
Is that 205 Live impression? Because yeah. They're short.
Because they're short. They all tell her, I'm going to win that purple belt.
Oh, come here.
Come on, I'll take you on.
That's what Vince McMahon says.
That's the voice he does backstage. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have a match now. I'm going to do a big flip.
Finn Balor, what are you talking about?
But I would prefer Cedric to go into a feud with Sammy as opposed to Braun. Didn't Money in the Bank feel like a non-factor this week?
Yeah. What are you talking about? The lady's got an invitation.
But to not Lacey a Money Evans's. In the Bank thing, though, right? It's more about Lacey's title match.
Mm, yeah.
I guess. Well, but so I was like, we get some like Cedric, but it wasn't. It was Braun. Braun came out. I actually forgot he was in Money in the Bank until the graphic later.
Oh my God, yeah.
And he came out and he chased Zayn. And the chase was a lot of fun, actually. I really liked Zayn trying to get away. And then it ended with Braun putting Zayn into a dumpster and then a garbage truck comes down and kills Sami Zayn. And Braun didn't feel that bad. That he had just caused a man to die?
Well, momentarily, he paused. He was like, shall I stop the truck killing the person? Nah. Because he, as a child, killed those kids in the treehouse. Do you remember that? He pushed down the treehouse, killing those kids.
Yeah. And he has killed, like, he has, like, led to people effectively dying before and has little regard for it. Or was it Roman that drove a car into
him? Roman tried to murder him.
Yeah.
I also think... a lot of the bar and Kane had to put him into a blender. That's something I think.
Well,
happened.
They put him into a garbage truck.
Say, yeah. He's had it done to him, so he's.
I was going to say like maybe that. He's just like, oh, it's fine. I survived.
I wasn't into this at all. I think it's because just from a fundamental level, I don't care about a heel Sami Zayn going up against a babyface Braun because
Kevin
that's
Owens
Kevin Owens last
again.
Year.
Yeah, you're right.
Which was a boring, rubbish feud. So that's hopefully that's a 1 week thing and it doesn't get addressed again.
Here's something we hope is not a 1 week thing though. Lucha House Party won a tag match with three jabronis, two of which didn't tag in. They just won. It was over very quickly and it led to nothing.
Yeah. So that like I love squash matches to build up your regular talent. But no one on commentary cared about this match.
No.
Apart from the obligatory, they love to have fun line.
Yeah.
Then they just started talking about other things on the show. Wild card rules. So this Lucha House Party match was impressive. They're really good high flyers. That's a Grand Metalik is one of the best high flyers in the world. Just felt like background noise.
Do you want to hear my prediction? They're going to win the tag titles, the SmackDown tag titles. Because Shane is crowning new tag champs on tonight's show. And I was like, why would you give Lucha House Party a random win on Raw against three jobbers?
Shout.
And then I thought to myself, oh, maybe they're going to show up on SmackDown and they'll win the tag belts.
Is that one pick? or Tress Wildcard?
I would say that's one wild card is Lucha House Party.
I want one of them to come out, and you're like, well, who's going to be the other the other picks? Yeah,
which
so that
one's going to join them?
Natalia, Dana Brooke, and Naomi were backstage. Dana Brooke was dressed as a racing flag, and they got invitations to Lacey Evans's thing, in-ring thing.
Yeah.
This was fine. I don't know.
I mean, I wrote this was horrid, but that was mainly for the acting more than anything.
Wasn't as bad as last week.
I did laugh at the line, it smells of peach cobbler.
Yeah. Then we got Ricochet coming out to avenge his one loss on the main roster to Robert Roode.
Oh, well, Robert Roode got that big old repackage 3 weeks ago. So maybe they're really going to go like full in with this Robert Roode character. So what happened in this match?
He lost.
Oh.
Pretty quickly as well.
Yeah.
And that Ricochet's Money in the Bank place was on the line too. This is stuff you make more of a story out of. And it was just a little line on commentary. I don't care. Like, if there was obviously no proper plans or plans were dropped because Roode has now lost 50% of his matches since being slightly repackaged. He's got a moustache now. And why would you give Ricochet a loss 2 weeks ago if it wasn't going to build to anything?
And Cesaro now 2 weeks without... Which, again, I mean, you could argue that that show was a bit of a reset show because they were introducing a load of new gimmicks, being like, here is the new mid-card. Yeah. And that mid-card has effectively disappeared. Cedric, where's Cedric on the show? He's completely disappeared as well.
And lost his first match.
Yeah. So another thing, there was a moment on commentary where Corey Graves was saying that, look, Robert Roode demanded this match because he beat Ricochet, and the following week, Ricochet was announced for Money in the Bank, and Robert Roode thinks that's unfair because he beat him. And Renee said, and I quote, that's ridiculous. No, it's not Renee. He's right.
After that, we got Ray and Eddie Guerrero's son, Dominic, walking around backstage. Ray goes into the locker room, and Samoa Joe follows Dominic. He was quite clearly standing right next to them to follow him, was a funny bit of staging. And he corners Dominic and says, tell your uncle, I guess?
Dad, I guess. I think they're not, because he called him Uncle Eddie. Mm. So they've obviously dropped the storyline that Dominic
is
Guerrero's kid, and he is back to being Ray's kid.
That he wants a US title match at Money in the Bank.
But they'd already announced the title match before Samoa Joe said that. They announced it prior to that they're going to have the rematch, because they did a recap package of the win that Ray got last week.
Yes.
So I just thought he was saying that I'm going to win at Money in the Bank, as opposed to I want to challenge your dad at Money in the Bank.
I don't care. then we got Lacey Evans versus another jobber act. Nice
Ali
to
Katrina?
See the jobbers being represented. Ali Katrina.
I think that's the name I got.
Cool. Next week it'll be Abby. The Abby the Witch, whatever you heard. And Natalia, Naomi, Dana Brooke, and Alexa Bliss all came out to stand and watch at ringside. Lacey Evans beat the jobber and then said, I'm going to beat Lynch. This is what a new champion's going to look like, which was kind of nice because if they're going to win the briefcase, they could cash in on her.
Exactly. She said, I hope you're all smarter than you look. Oh, but with this whole wild card thing now, could someone who wins the briefcase on Raw show up on SmackDown and cash in for the SmackDown title?
Honestly, the wild card idea does have a lot of mileage. But you have to have very clear, distinct brands for a while to make it really feel important.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. It's just an idea when put in up this week just feels like it's thrown on a wall.
Yeah. I quite liked Lacey. And I thought Lacey's right hand was really cool. Like,
yeah.
She proper punched that poor girl right in the face.
Yeah, it did look good. Unfortunately, my eyes were too focused on the where she was very clearly slapping her shoulder.
I see. I was distracted by the
fist. In the
fist.
Replay, yeah.
Story of my life. And Becky was very upset with this segment on Twitter. She just thought, like, that's four former champions being told what to do and just doing it.
Mm.
I really like. We need to like bring out some actual competitors in them again.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, Becky Lynch stood tall. Lacey Evans walked off. This was The best Lacey Evans segment I've seen.
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd certainly go with that. And then we got this new version of promos, which I'm very much on board with.
Yeah.
It's not stilted with a interviewer. It is just a wrestler looking directly in the camera and talking about how they're going to win their match. And I thought that all three of them were very, very good.
Yeah, especially because this one was Daniel Bryan, who can cut a hell of a promo by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Then the Viking Raiders beat Hawkins and Ryder.
Oh, hang on. WWE won some social media awards.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's good.
And the
Usos. That'll get the ratings in.
And we also had the first part of the Usos storyline, which is them coming out of the men's locker room looking like cartoon characters. I am stunned that this company have managed to make the Usos unlikable.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible because they're very cool.
I think we'll get onto that. We'll get onto it. Yeah. So Viking Raiders won to no crowd reaction.
God, this deathly quiet. Mm. Deathly quiet crowd.
These are the tag champions.
And the NXT tag champs. This was the NXT tag champions versus the Raw tag champs. And it didn't feel like anything special. Although they did plug TakeOver 25, which is happening on June 1st? Yeah, June 1st.
At the moment, it might change again. So then we got the most consistently good thing in WWE at the moment. Although, you know, speaking to Phil Stopford over the weekend,
he was not a fan. Even when we were talking about how much we liked it, he would just stop and go like, nah, I think it's rubbish.
Nah, I think you're rubbish, mate. Firefly Funhouse with Bray Wyatt.
I was starting to get on a bit of a lull on this show.
Huh.
The first, like, I was starting to like really sort of phase out of stuff and I was starting to feel a bit tired and a bit nauseous. This snapped me right back up. And all of a sudden, I sat back up in my chair being like, right, brilliant, Firefly Funhouse. I really like these segments. And this bloody delivered, and I was very, very happy again.
Yeah, it started off with Mercy the Buzzard is eating something, and there's loads of fluff. And I figured out pretty quickly, it's Rambling Rabbit.
Oh, really?
From the
previous
week.
It wasn't until he pulled it out.
Oh, yeah, I'm very smart, though.
Oh, okay.
And that comes out, and Bray takes out the sort of fluffy corpse which has been beheaded. You killed Rambling Rabbit. And Mercy's like, he tried to convert me to his bohemian lifestyle.
Which sounds like the promos that Bray would have cut.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really nice meta commentary. I also like that they did this very elaborate burp sound and you can hear the kids laughing.
Yeah, and but occasionally there's just a weird scream as well. The overall design of these segments is really well thought out.
Yeah.
Apart from the name of the witch. And then Bray interestingly says, you can be forgiven no matter what if you express yourself.
Oh, Bracy. It's okay to express your feelings.
Yeah. And I'm not going to shout at you. In fact, let's celebrate. And they have this picnic time, which was the best thing of the segment because it's just this group of kids sitting on the set's floor, cross-legged, not happy. Not crying, but unhappy.
Blank faces. It was, yeah, unsettling, this was.
Really happy music, yeah. Bray's there laughing and smiling.
We're so happy you're our friends.
Oh, yeah. Really, really good. Really good visual.
I love this character. Mm-hmm. This character so, so much. I think it's great.
What I really like, especially with the idea, if he runs with this as character motivation, that as long as you express yourself, you can be forgiven anything. I'm just trying to track Bray's journey in kayfabe. As he obviously went, he was tortured and stuff, or beaten heavily for having done things that were bad in the past. You know, I was a bad man, but after some brutal torturing, so now he's come through that, and it's like, if you express yourself fully with painting or violence, I imagine is where it's going to go, it's okay. So now you've got a position of, in their head, a justified maniac or sociopath, which is ripe to be ruined by WWE.
Well, shout out to Michael Cole, who said, Firefly Funhouse has taken social media by storm, just like AJ Styles and Seth Rollins have.
They're on a level. Seth got a really good direct-to-camera promo after this. He had a line, when you walk away from me next time, AJ, it'll be with two black eyes and a broken face. That's edgy.
Yeah, it's good.
I liked it. Yeah, it was really good. Then we got the Reigns McIntyre stuff.
He watched that John Moxley video. It was like, I want me some of that.
I'm going to make you bleed, son. then we got the McIntyre-Roman match, which we talked about. Then we got the revival versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Yeah.
Which is the payoff to the earlier Usos, sneaky Usos bit.
And it's funny as well because these two teams were standing there and I was like, huh, this is a future All Elite Wrestling Tag Team Championship match right here. We didn't get that match.
We got the opposite.
Instead, the Usos came out on stage. This is where I thought, man, they are unlikable. They are very, very unlikable characters because they're just coming out and they're giggling and they're acting like school children. Yeah. Annoying school children. And they... long story short, they put deep heat on their balls.
The
Revival, yeah. They put deep heat in their trunks, so that made their balls hot. And credit to The Revival, because they sold this brilliantly.
Yeah, really.
This was a dreadful, dreadful segment, and it's a terrible treatment of these very, very good wrestlers and very, very good characters. But boy, howdy, did they go hell for leather with it. And credit to them.
Mm. Yeah. They made the most of it. They're not just like, we're not going to do it on the way out. And to me, like, it makes me like The Revival more and think, Usos, you dicks.
Yeah, they are acting like complete dicks.
The Revivals haven't even done anything dastardly to the Usos, which usually should be a big part of these kind of feuds.
And this feud was started because The Revival keep calling themselves top guys and the Usos are like, well, you've never beaten us. So it started off as a competitive thing, but it's now just turned into the Usos pranking The Revival and trying to embarrass them on TV, which is inconsistent with their characters. And I would argue it's inconsistent with The Revival's characters as well.
Totally.
It's just because The Revival want to leave, ergo, you got to be punished now.
Yeah. It's really short-sighted, especially if you've got both of these guys for at least another year. Who's not to say, just book them strong, see what happens.
And they might want to stay.
Like, let them have really good matches with the Usos over the next couple of months.
Because they can do.
Yeah. The problem here is The Revival are going. Well, they want to leave. They've obviously annoyed a lot of people backstage. And they're going to be booked to oblivion for a long time. I've made peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful, but it is what it is. What the real big thing that enough people aren't talking about is how Raw are ruining the Usos. I know you just said it there, but how do you go from badass Usos penitentiary thing? My God, SmackDown tried to ruin them with those graphics and sound effects. But here, like every time they've come out, from singing their theme tune on the way down to being beaten up 90% of a match by Gallows and Anderson, this stuff here with the ball cream, yeah, that's criminal.
It really is, yeah. And I know Sean Ross Sapp was defending this segment, saying that, hey, Edge and Christian were doing this sort of comedy during the wrestling's boom period. Edge and Christian were comedy heels.
Mm.
The Revival are not comedy heels. And the Usos shouldn't be comedy baby faces. You're absolutely right that Edge and Christian were doing these sorts of segments 20 years ago. But that was consistent with their characters. This is not consistent with either of these teams.
Yeah. And they were funny.
They were funny.
Like, I think at the end of the day, this wasn't funny.
No.
As much as the Revival
No one
tried.
Crapped their pants, so it's not funny.
And then we got No Way Jose. We got a very good Kofi promo, No Way Jose and Lars Sullivan, and the main event of Kingston versus Bryan.
A match that Michael Cole said is the first true WWE Championship match on Raw in 3 years. And I thought to myself, there was one 3 weeks ago with Seth Rollins.
I guess maybe that wasn't true.
Well, that's what I mean. I think they were putting that caveat of it's a true WWE Championship match.
Yeah. Well, we will be live streaming WWE 2K19 shortly over on Screen Stalker. We'll put the link in the chat for you to head over there to hang out with us for even longer. But now let's get through some super chats.
Would you like to first hear my deep heat anecdote?
I mean, you said there's loads of...
It's very quick.
Let's do it. Let's do
basically, it. When I was younger, I had a sore bottom. Mm-hmm. And I thought...
Why is it with you and just talking about your bottom? This is not the podcast.
What's great for pain? Because I'd obviously had pain before and I'd rubbed deep heat on it. And I thought I'd rub deep heat on my butt crack. And I couldn't sleep for about 3 hours because I was writhing around in pain. Anyway.
So glad we took the time out for that.
Yeah.
Don't try that at home, folks.
Don't. We've got... message retracted, donation, Rex Saxon donation,
thank you very much.
Williams
Rex.
Donation,
thank you very much.
Williams. Banker, Donation, no message. So thank you to all of them.
Thank you very much.
Sean Turner does have a message, however, and he says, WE Sammy is hot on the mic and getting good heat. What should we do? Vince, have Braun bury him, throw him in the trash. I'm a genius.
Genius.
Message retracted again. Thank you to him or her. Austin Shute says, Sami Zayn is the new Elias of Raw, is what he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. Yeah,
he's just getting beaten up by Strowman. Yeah, here's a long promo segment. Get beaten up by someone.
Yeah.
Sawyer says, did Ollie Stash get signed by AEW already?
I don't know what you mean.
Well,
your moustache.
Oh. I know. I think we've all imagined it. Because I thought there was a moustache there as well, but there no longer
Maybe
is one.
Maybe it's you that has the moustache.
I do have one of those.
Yeah. But I've got a beard as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Ricky Partridge says, I just wanted to hear Randy Andy say penis. When did I say penis?
No, I think he says he wants to hear you say that.
You've already said it.
Penis. Devin Banks, ace reporter Gregory Helm should have been the one to try and get an interview with Shane while hiding from the news. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great yes, absolutely. And Shane and Helms is there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it would undermine the blood feud element of that.
Oh, well, and Charlie Caruso didn't undermine it.
I think Charlie doing it is different to Shane Helms. Yeah.
Strong disagree. I'm going to go with Shane on this one. Shane interviewing Shane. Shane on Shane.
Adam Daily Live. You'll have to translate the last bit of this for me because I don't know what he means. But he says 90s Vince is Thanos. 2010s Vince is Malekith.
Malekith. He was the bad guy of Thor the Dark World, which was a rubbish film.
And a rubbish villain. A boring villain.
Yeah. Poor old Christopher Eccleston.
Morris Harth says, what do you think about this? The winners of the Intercontinental and US titles become the number one contenders for the Universal and WWE titles.
It should certainly put you up into the mix, but like it's meant to be sort of a stepping stone as opposed to being like you have won this belt. Because otherwise that means you're just winning a belt to win a number one contendership, which means the belt doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's confusing it with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
Sean Turner, Bailey Sting was my idea. The Undertaker thing isn't. That is the worst idea. I have standards. That super chat ruined my Tuesday. Bailey Sting super chat.
That Bailey Sting thing is awesome, though.
What's his name? Sean Turner.
Yeah,
Sean
and it was Generation Z. Generation Z.
Well, you know, get together, have a fantasy booking meet, and see what horrors you can come up with.
No Zid says, RIP Eric Chappell, former Northeastern independent wrestler.
Well, R.I.P.
Rest in peace to him. Dysentery Joe says, how many people will lose TV time because of wild card rule? How bad does Raw/SmackDown have to get before we only ramble review AEW once weekly TV starts?
You'd say that, like, but we didn't have SmackDown guys last week, and Cesaro, Robert Roode, and Cedric Alexander weren't on the show then either.
Mm.
So things don't change, really.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Pridemore says, sending love from the Motor City.
Oh,
cheers, like, Pridemore.
Like Alex Shelley.
It's here, isn't it? Somewhere here.
I think it's something like that, yeah.
Lives on my hand.
Nick Kwoschak. Could this all be an angle where Vince is going mad?
Could be.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't think it is.
and if it is, that was not the intention.
Yeah.
Captain Charisma 94 says, thoughts on WWE burying the Revival?
Yeah, well, they are.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, they want to go.
Jesse Sanchez simply says, AEW for the win.
Well, why not?
Yeah, let's hope so.
I'm more optimistic about a brand new thing that hasn't had a track record of making me sad for half my adult life.
I am looking forward to Double or Nothing.
Yes, very much.
Really
so.
Much. I'm very much looking forward to Double or Nothing. It's got a very, very good card. Mm. I'm really excited for it.
KJ says, personally, I'll take anyone to win Money in the Bank over Corbin, even Randy Orton. At least Orton can be good when he cares.
Yeah. And you could cash in. From out of somewhere.
Jeremiah Jones says, how do you think WWE would have made Avengers Endgame? we can't really do that because of spoilers in it.
Yeah. Oh no, the spoiler ban has been lifted, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go into it because I still I spoiler bans are silly.
Well, a lot of people were very upset about the Spider-Man thing, weren't they? Because it had spoilers in it.
Well, yeah, but they did actually have a bumper at the start that said, "If you've not seen Endgame, don't watch this trailer."
Fair enough. I haven't watched either.
Yeah.
David Myers says, "Have you guys seen the Crockett Cup yet? All this versus Skrull match was incredible."
He's talking about Skrull.
Yeah. Entire pay-per-view of the top shelf.
He could have shapeshifted into anything.
Mm. Yeah, I really want to watch that show. Yeah. I like the prestige of the NWA.
Yes.
Sort of. Yeah, it harkens to the history of something.
Yeah, there's a couple of matches from this year that I'm looking to catch up on, particularly over Mania weekend. That that Rev Pro tag match of Tanahashi and Ospreay versus Suzuki Goon. I really want to see that. Some lots of Mania weekend I missed.
Jeremy Chastain, donation with no message. So thank you to
Jeremy.
Tana Sturica says, "Protect Bray at all costs."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't know how you do that gimmick well in the ring.
I really hope
I'm hopeful.
I was thinking about Rambling Rabbit now that he is dead. Mm. He is still in the logo there for Firefly Funhouse. So I'm hoping the next week, like a stitched up version of him.
Or zombie.
Like a
zombie rambling
rabbit is back. Yeah. Like with bugs crawling out of him.
Gavin Wilson, "What are the rules? When the ratings are down, you need to turn it around. Oh, we're trying to figure out the rules."
What are the rules? When the ratings are down, you gotta turn it around. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Kratos' Forgotten Son. Hey. "Hello, guys. My apologies for disappearing this past month. I've been watching and listening to everything, but I've been really quiet." I'll
creepy.
Send an email this week, as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your Patreonage as well. Patronage. You'll get your shout-out tomorrow.
Dylan 420 says, "Robert Roode instead of Corbin in Money in the Bank."
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Tomo says, "Wrestle Talk is the best. Just like all of the Swaff Nation. Love everyone." Oh, he's going to turn heel any second now.
Well, the positivity from Tomo.
I'd say the Swaff Nation are great, but Wrestle Talk is average at best. Mm.
Yeah. We get by.
Scott Hickman says, "What three things need to change in WWE immediately?" Easy question there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need more time on than that, but...
Three things. Booking. Maybe three different wrestlers could transition.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that'll... Yeah. On the brand.
That is genius.
Treat wrestlers like stars would be my number one.
DX Solo, "I laughed when Graves said to Renee, 'You don't get paid to think,' early on in the show. Brutal."
Yep, Corey is... Yeah. I mean, when it started, I felt bad for Renee, but now I'm just like, I dislike her commentary so much, the way she's produced, that I get a kick out of Corey being nasty to her.
Yeah, I feel like she has lost all energy for that company. Yeah. She used to be full of life, and now she sounds like she is dead behind the eyes.
Mm.
Shame.
Cody R says, "Raw was forgettable. WWE as a company is in danger."
I don't think it was forgettable, because I'm going to remember this as one of the moments they completely crapped the bed.
Yeah, and that was a really fun main event. But also, WWE's not in danger.
It's got too much money.
Yeah.
And lastly, from Shannon Douglas, she says, Shannon can be a man's name as well, can't it?
Mm-hmm.
They say Mustache Mountain or Street Profits for a SmackDown face tag team.
Oh, Mustache Mountain.
Yeah, I'd go with Mustache Mountain, yeah.
I mean, the Street Profits are very good from what I've seen, but Mustache Mountain are like next level in-ring performers.
Yeah, but there is no SmackDown tag team division for them to then go into feuds with. So, but you know, you're right. It's funny, so we
Trent Seven's in London as well. Well, he's a pretty good fly.
Yeah, we did an interview with Trent over the Progress Super Strong Style 16 tournament. Our website writer, Louis Dangor, spoke with him. And Louis asked him about, like, if he was going to go up to the main roster, like, before Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates, like, would you do it or would you want to stay with them?
Yeah, yeah.
And his response was like, "Well, firstly, I'd be amazed that I was asked first."
He's a good guy. When he was announced for the main event, he's like, "Here's Trent Seven from the Mustache Mountain weighing in at Hench." Very good.
Good show, I would say. An excellent show.
What, our Wrestle Ramble?
Yes,
WWE slowly imploding as a company?
Adam Bibelow of the Action Hero podcast just tweeted and made me laugh. Crikey, the wheels are really falling off that wagon, aren't they?
You gotta. I think I'm just gonna watch the next couple of months of WWE TV once removed and kind of see it as a company or one man losing his mind.
Losing his marbles.
Yeah, that's the best way to enjoy that show.
Richard emails in to say, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and all the wrestle types, but never handy Randy Datsun. I have an irrational fear of bodies of water.
I forgot we had this going. Bodies of water, what? Like in the abyss? Because there's the...
I was just going to let that hang.
Bodies of water, like in Hellboy...
Well, he's like a fish man. I'm not sure he's a body of water.
I'm looking for sentient water characters. I'm sure comic books are rife with them.
Yeah, I mean, they probably are. All I can think of is ice-based ones, though, like Shiva from Final Fantasy VII or Iceman from the X-Men.
Oh, well, bodies of water.
Yeah. Lakes, rivers, streams, and even swimming pools. My wife loves swimming, but I can't bring myself to do it. When I was young, my grandmother and I would have movie marathons of Jaws and other horror films. For some reason, all the water-based films still have an effect on my everyday life. Thank you all for the amazing content and the laughs you provide. Due to the horrible content, I can't watch WWE anymore, but I love listening to Wrestle Talk. Once my family is out of the paycheck to paycheck life, we're going to join Patreon and hopefully get my own wrestling nickname. That's from Rick Laser.
You've already got a wrestling nickname.
I don't think that's his real surname.
Oh, though. Right.
But, still, Rick's a good first name.
When does a water become a body?
Well, he was saying it seems like it's any, like I mean, probably not a puddle, but like any collection.
Your glass of water right there.
But that's not a body. That's a glass of water. I think it's more like, I think a body of water means something you can swim in, I would say.
Or a bath.
Yeah, a bath.
A bath, maybe. I mean, maybe he does have a fear of baths. Please clarify in a further email, Rick. Are you scared of baths?
I was at uni with
bath, really.
At uni with a girl who had a legit fear of water. She was hydrophobic, and yeah, it was, I never got a satisfying answer of how she didn't stink. Because how do you wash?
When I was in Canada, I met a girl who has a fear of crisps.
Well, that's specific.
Yeah, she can't be near people when they're eating crisps. She can't like look at crisps. It was it was difficult because I bloody love crisps. And I had some like dill pickled flavored crisps that I picked up in Canada that were delightful, and I couldn't eat them around her.
Such a Luke sentence. Reminiscing about those crisps you had in Canada.
Oh, they were good though. Oh, they were excellent. When I was coming back from the Avengers a couple of weeks ago, I told you about the drunken ladies that were on the tube who were being very loud.
Yes, yeah.
All the way to bloody Shepherd's Bush. Just actually White City. They wouldn't just get off the bloody train. They were just being very loud. But they did ask a question that I thought I would pose to you and Randy, because Randy, your microphone is on in the studio with us. If you have to live your entire rest of your life with either a towel that is constantly wet or... wet toilet roll.
Ooh.
Towel.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I went towel as well.
Because the toilet, it would break apart when you try to wipe.
And yeah.
And you can brown
always,
hand.
You can always air dry.
Yeah.
Wait. So you both said the wet towel, though.
Wet towel, yeah, that's what I mean.
So you want to live with the wet towel.
Yeah, and then have constantly dry toilet roll.
Right. Ah, well, bidets.
You can install a bidet.
I don't like that because I don't like splashback. In the toilet when you go for a number two. And so
you'll
I think a bidet would be just as unpleasant.
Yeah, but it's not your... What? How do you take showers then? Because it's the same...
I don't put the shower head up my...
You don't? What, how do you keep it clean in there?
Is this what
dirty
happens?
Andy.
Is this what
dirty,
happens when
dirty
we invite
Andy.
You onto the podcast? You've been on... You've said three words and already you're starting to talk about bumholes.
I would definitely go for the wet towel. And that wet towel would be used... No, the dry towels. I'd need the dry towels for the bidet washing of my butt.
Okay, so you're saying toilet roll. You're
yeah, I'm going to... I think toilet roll is wasteful anyway. If I could do... Surely, toilet roll in 20 years' time, someone's going to come up with a better invention.
Yeah, seashells. Like three seashells.
Yeah.
What? Well, how reliable...
Demolition Man. You seen the film Demolition Man?
Not for a long time.
So there's a gag in Demolition Man when he gets into the future that they have done away with toilet roll and just replaced it with three seashells. And the joke's never explained as to how you use them.
Yeah, right.
So the running joke throughout the whole film is, how do you use the three seashells?
Mm.
But how reliable? How reliable is a bidet though? How powerful is the jet?
Pretty reliable. That's how, like, you know, Japanese toilets are all based around that. And then you can have a toilet with something that squirts up and it washes that place, which I think is a lot cleaner than just dry paper spreading the mess around and hopefully it comes off.
Well, you know,
and then an air drying thing comes up out the toilet too.
Does it really?
Well, I'm sure one exists.
Like a Dyson?
Yes.
Like when you're in a pub and it's got like the air blade thing.
Yeah.
But for your butt.
In some cultures, they have like a little, like a sort of, I don't know what it's called. It's like a teapot thing where they use it and their hand and water to wipe themselves.
Yeah, but Western society has not got toilet-based cleaning up right.
This conversation has taken a turn that I did not expect.
It's also 1 minute past three.
You didn't factor in how much I've thought about this.
I once knew a girl who threw up in a bidet.
Oh, nice.
And I had some dill pickle crisps. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this episode. If you are listening before our Prince Charles Cinema show, get your ticket. Come on down. We're very much looking forward to meeting you all there for Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review, which will have some Raw styles in it as well, apparently. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.